One of the ministers here, our lead pastor, the Reverend Dr. Peter Moon, will be preaching today, and it is going to be an awesome service of worship on this Pentecost Sunday, as we have so much to celebrate together. But before we begin, I want you to take a minute to look inside your bulletin and to notice that you have two inserts. One is some lyrics to a hymn that we are going to sing later, so hang on to that. And then the other is this colorful insert that says, "Join us for summer worship. Consider serving in worship this Sunday, this summer." So I hope that you will take that home with you, that you will pray over that, and that you will be willing to help in worship in these ways. And if you have other ways, just let us know. We always invite your participation. If Pete will please come up now and bio.
Come on up. Most of you are aware that for the last year we have had the privilege of having Bio here as our intern. And we are really excited because we have some great news about that. On July 1, Bio will be a part-time associate pastor here. So we're excited about that. You can say thank you, and thank you to God, and thank you to Bio. So Bio has gone through a rigorous interview and papers, and he has been in licensing school for the last 10 days or something.
Oh, yes.
And anyway, on July 1, he will be appointed as a part-time, as I said, a part-time associate pastor here, and he's going to be working in adult discipleship. He's going to be working with our existing Sunday schools. He's going to be starting some new small groups, and he's going to be continuing his great work with our young adult group that has been meeting with folks not only with our congregation, but with a host of folks who are not part of this congregation. So we're excited. He's going to have a busy year. He's going to be working. He's going to be full-time in seminary and working part-time here. But, Bio, we welcome you, and we're glad you're here.
Thank you, Reverend.
All right.
Mentioned, today is Pentecost Sunday, so you'll notice that our order of worship is slightly different at the beginning, and so you won't be standing for the call to worship, so just be prepared for that. So the Lord be with you. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
rushing wind that sweeps away all barriers. With tongues of fire that set our hearts aflame. With speech that unites the babble of our tongues. With love that overlaps the boundaries of race and nation. With power from above to make our weakness strong. Come, Holy Spirit.
Just as it is.
do something a little bit differently. As we are seated here, I want you to listen to Mr. Ely. He's going to bring us our first scripture reading, and if you'll come on up and read us. Today is the story of Pentecost, and I want you to listen very carefully as he offers us the story today.
Jesus' ascension into heaven, the disciples gather in Jerusalem for the Jewish festival of Pentecost, celebrating God's giving the Torah to Moses. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind.
Wait, Mr. Ely. Did you hear what he just said? There was a rush of a violent wind. So I'm wondering if we can all kind of help us think about that. Can you all say, whoosh? Come on, that was pretty wimpy. Give me something here. Whoosh. Can you all help them out? Whoosh. Whoosh. All right, we got the wind blowing there, Mr. Ely. Keep on going.
And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them.
Wait, I'm sorry to interrupt you again, Mr. Ely, but did you hear what he just said? Tongues of fire fell on each of them. So not only was there, what was that sound again? Yeah, but there's also tongues of fire. You know what? Can you wave your streamers around a little bit? So you've got tongues of fire, and let's hear a whoosh. All right, let's keep going, Mr. Ely. We're doing great.
Well, thank you, Pastor. I'm honored. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered.
Wait. What was that word, Mr. Ely? Did you just say, what was that last word?
Bewildered.
Bewildered. Bewildered. So all these folks are wondering, what the heck is going on here? Can we say, or put our hands up and say, what is this? All right, let's find out. Keep going.
Because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native languages? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia.
Mr. Ely, I'm sorry to interrupt you one more time.
Okay.
What was that last word you just said? What was that last word?
Cappadocia.
That's a big word. Can you all say Cappadocia? Yeah, that's from a different place, a different language, a whole different land. All these people spoke a whole different language from, what was that? Cappadocia. A lot of people there, different languages speaking. So please continue, Mr. Ely.
Residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others sneered and said, they're full with new wine.
So did you hear that last line, boys and girls? They were all asking a question, what does this mean? Let's say that together. What does this mean? Well, you know what? We're going to talk some more, and we're going to see, and we're going to find out what all this means. Let's put our hands together, and we're going to say a prayer. Dear Jesus, thanks for a beautiful day, even though it's raining, because your Spirit is here on this day of Pentecost. Help us understand what this means. Amen. All right, y'all, you can come on, go on back to your seats, and thanks so much. Good to see you here today.
Second part of the reading comes today from the 14th verse of chapter 2 that we just read together. Will you listen once again for the word of God? But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, as we gather before your word, as we gather before your word on this day of Pentecost, it is our prayer that you would do it again, that you would pour your spirit upon us, men, women, and children gathered here. It is our prayer that you enable us to speak of your wonders. It is our prayer that your spirit would enable us to gather around your word that we too might be changed and transformed, encouraged and inspired. It is our prayer today, O Lord, that you would pour your spirit upon us and you would do it again. For it is in the name of Jesus we ask it. Amen. Well, friends, for the next couple of months, extending through the summer and all the way into the fall, we're going to be talking with some consistency around the theme of our words, our speech. All summer, we're going to enter into a sermon series about wisdom. And a big part of wisdom is knowing when to speak and when not to speak. In the fall, we're going to take on a four-week study of the book of James. James has a whole lot to say about how we speak or do not speak, how we use our tongues and all of that. But today is the day of Pentecost. And to get us started in thinking about our words, let me see if I can tell you a story. A couple of months ago, I was at a Kroger gas station with all those, you know, gazillion rows of pumps. And I was pumping my gas, and a couple of rows away from me, a good ways away from me, about 30 yards, was a woman who was pumping her gas, but she was clearly in a hurry. And she was distracted, and she was on her phone. She was on her phone talking, and she's walking around the car, and she put the gas in, and she was talking, and she's going this, and she's going there, and she's doing all this. And the gas had apparently finished, and she was still on the phone, and you probably know where this is going. Because sure enough, she's on the phone, she had forgotten to take the hose out of her car. So she was hurriedly headed away, still on the phone. So I will tell you that my lovely wife reminds me in a very helpful way that my preacher voice is not always a good thing. She has said to me on more than one occasion, "Pete, people can hear you." Did I say it was on more than one occasion? But at the gas station, this was not that time. So I pulled out every ounce of volume inside of me, a voice that was refined by years of speaking over the screaming, whining, fighting of five kids in the back seat of the car, right? And I yelled at the top of my lungs, "Stop!" And well, she was still in her car on her cell phone, but somehow the word got through the 30 yards, through the windshield, through the conversation on the phone. She jerked the car to a stop just as the hose was getting to its length. Then she got out of the car, didn't get off the phone, got out of the car, went and took the gas, put it back on the nozzle, still on the phone, got in her car, waved sheepishly at me, and went hauling off. The guy behind her just looked at me and goes, "Can you believe this?" Right? Well, I hope that story introduces our theme for the morning. Our words have power. Our words have power because we just heard the familiar story in the book of Acts of Pentecost. And naturally, our thoughts and reflections, they go to what I would call the fireworks of the passage. You heard it with kids. Tongues of fire fall on each individual believer. Mysterious rushing wind fills the space. The still small voice of God is no longer still nor small. Miracles happen. Presence of God bursts forth in beauty, fire, and powerful. And as wonderful and powerful as the fireworks of this story are, they're not the most earth-shattering part of the text. Did you hear? It is the fire words that actually bring it in the passage. Because suddenly, miraculously, these early believers, they're able to communicate what is extraordinarily hard to speak of, and I quote, the wonders of God. And to speak about those wonders into different cultures, into different languages, into different narratives and understandings. Can we just acknowledge the spiritual level of difficulty of this maneuver? You ever tried to do it? Have you ever tried to do what they did? To speak to somebody who's from a different place, a different culture, even a different nation, to tell them about the goodness of God, the love of God, the beauty of God, the wonder of God, and to be able to do it in a way that they actually hear it. Do you understand how? We all know how difficult this really is, not only to speak, but for people to actually perceive and take it in. They did that, and Peter really did that. Remember the story of Peter, right? Before we read, remember his account with Jesus. He was the one that denied Jesus. Just prior, after the resurrection, just a few weeks prior to this, he said, I had enough of this stuff. Even with Jesus raised, I'm going fishing, he said. He was going back to the old life. And yet right here, Peter stands up and he preaches to a skeptical crowd who thought they'd been drinking. And he preaches what was likely his first sermon. And when he preaches, this isn't a John 3:16 sermon, right? He preaches Joel. Joel's hard. You heard it. Blood and moon and darkness and apocalypse and all. He preaches it. And not only that, he looks at the people in the crowd and he says, you all are the ones who put Jesus on the cross. He goes from preaching to meddling. He gets personal. And yet, the crowd says, what shall we do? Cut to the heart, the text says. And thousands of people, after those words, came to the faith. See the point? Pentecost isn't just about fireworks. It's about fire words. And I hope and pray that invites you and me to think about the power of our words. You know, this past Easter Sunday, our staff took on a bit of an exercise. We challenged every staff member on Easter Sunday to try to have a conversation with somebody they didn't know, a guest who was coming to visit that day. It was extraordinarily hard, and the truth be known, we all didn't make it because, after all, it is Easter Sunday. But implicit in it all was a reminder that often the most transformative thing that happens on a Sunday morning isn't necessarily in this room in worship, as important as that is. Preaching, as important as that is. Sometimes the most important words you hear are an individual conversation in the hallway, where somebody offered a prayer for you, or you prayed for somebody. Somebody offered you an encouraging word, a loving word, so that when you walked out to the parking lot, and when you went to lunch, that was what was abiding in your soul, right? A simple word of encouragement. Our words have power. Our words have power. But as we speak to the power of words, can we also acknowledge what I would call the kryptonite to our powerful words? In a word, the kryptonite is fear. Fear. Every single one of us have done it, right? Every single one of us has said something that we later regretted. And to use the classic children's sermon, when we say those words we later regret, it's like toothpaste going out of the tube. You can't get it back into the tube once it's out there. And maybe it's a key moment when the words came out, perhaps impulsively, perhaps with a motive that you now grieve later. But take a minute and trace that back. Dig down and uncover the stuff underneath those words offered, and likely you'll find the kryptonite. Words born out of fear. Words offered out of anxiety, not with the desire to help or encourage or serve or fear, but words born out of a desire to quiet your own anxieties, our own fears. But then, of course, there's the other side. How many times could you or I have offered an encouraging word, a good word, a loving word, a supportive word, and yet we remain silent? And what was it that kept us from speaking? Was it fear? Now, to be clear, let's acknowledge that fear is not entirely a bad thing. Many times I have been saved from saying something I would later regret for fear of hurting somebody, for fear of speaking because when I didn't understand the whole situation. See, sometimes that fear is helpful, but not always. See, sometimes there's somebody around you and they need to hear a good word. They need to hear a word of encouragement, a word of hope, a word of love. And sometimes we're so afraid to speak into that that we remain silent. Again, that's an entire sermon. I wish we had time to develop it, but let's just acknowledge the way that fear and anxiety can push us to say the wrong thing, and that can also freeze us, so that we do not say the right thing. And that pulls us right back to the Pentecost reading and the story. You know, remember, not long ago, before the story, this was a group of disciples for whom the theme word really was fear. Right? The door, remember the account in John, the door was locked for fear. Just last week on Ascension Sunday, we talked about the disciples and their fear, about how they were looking up into the sky trying to figure out, how am I going to live life now that Jesus is gone? Fear is all around in so many places prior to this reading, but not at Pentecost. There's a pattern. The fireworks come. Fear and anxiety is dissolved. Fire words burst forth. Remember, that's one of the roles of the Spirit. The Spirit comes and quiets your fears. That's why we call the Spirit the advocate. Why we call the Spirit the comforter, the counselor. Quiets our fears, walks beside us, empowers us to offer a word that is needed. That's what Paul said to Timothy, those great words. For this reason, he said, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He goes on to say, great line. For the Spirit of God does not make us timid. Older translations, the Spirit God gave us is not a spirit of timidity, but of love, of power, of self-discipline. But when you think about this, how does this work practically? How do you get there? How do you get to that place where the Spirit empowers us to work past timidity into the bold, loving word that is so needed? I think the way that comes is a little bit different today than in the days of Pentecost years ago. Let me see if I can tell you a story about that. You know, for many years, I lived in the Pacific Northwest. I was at school in Seattle for 4 years, and then I lived up near the mountains for 6 years up at Whidbey Island. And during that time, my friends and I would spend a lot of weekends camping, hiking, climbing, and a whole lot of fishing. And in fact, those fishing stories have gotten a lot bigger and better over the years.
And they were incredible trips, but one thing I remember about those trips is that this was the Pacific Northwest, and it rains all the time. And so we would have this classic line around the campfire at night when we were trying to light fire. We would go like this. Some of you who are scouts know the answer to this question, by the way. How do you start a fire with wet wood? Well, the answer is, you don't. Wet wood doesn't burn, right? The only thing you can do is find dry tinder or dry wood, get a fire started, and then then you take the wet wood and you line it around the fire. And the heat, of course, will dry out the wood. And sometimes it's really, you can watch it drying out, right? You can see the water bubbling out, evaporating, steaming out of all that wet wood. But friends, you see what happened at Pentecost? Because let's admit it, sometimes you and I are that wet wood. Not wet with water, we're wet with fear. That's what fear does, right? It fights the work of the Spirit, quenches any word of hope and love and change that we can speak into a situation. So what do we do, wet wood that we are? In a word, you and I, brothers and sisters, we gather around the fire. This week I saw a quote by Max Lucado, a book he wrote a couple years ago entitled Fearless. He was doing an interview about that book, and I'd never seen this quote before. I love it. He says this, and I quote, "The church is the place where fears go to die. The church is the place where fears go to die." I wish that our fears would just evaporate like they did at Pentecost. I've seen a little bit of that in Cuba when I was there, a little bit of that in Africa. But I think it happens a little bit differently in our culture. Honestly, it's too slow for most of our tastes, but the way that wood is dried, the fears evaporate, the fears dissolve, is we gather around the fire in this room. And we gather around this fire in other rooms. That's what's supposed to happen, worship at its best. We gather in this place. We are reminded that God is good, that God is power, that God is love. And as we do, our fears have a way of evaporating, equipping us to offer a good word when we go out the door. Same thing happens when you go to Sunday school, when you go to a small group. You are reminded of the goodness and wonder and power of our God that is greater than our fears. Same thing happens when you and I go and serve the least and the last and the lost. We are reminded of God's love for those who hurt. And we are empowered, we are given the courage and the ability to offer a good word. The fears evaporate and you and I are enabled to serve. Friends, don't ever forget the power of your fire words. I will wager that before this week is over, you're going to have an opportunity to speak a word of love, a word of hope, a word of encouragement to someone. And as you do, you're going to feel anxious about that, and perhaps even fearful. But remember the power of our words. Remember the power of what we do right here in this place. It is here to equip and empower us to offer fire words in the midst of a culture that hears so very few of them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Our hymn of response is Come Holy Spirit, Wind and Fire, which is the insert in your bulletin. I invite you to stand and sing with us.
Spirit, through your might, darkness and
information on page 885 of your hymnals. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Let us pray. Holy God, send your Spirit to unite our hearts and minds in prayer for the church and our world. We pray for the church throughout the world, for our denomination, for our bishop, our district superintendent, and our congregation. Especially today, we pray for our partner churches, Love Center of Unity and Koinonia Christian Church. We pray that your Spirit will be with us as we celebrate 10 years of partnership and ministry. Inspire us to be prophetic witnesses to your truth. Give us clarity, a vision to acknowledge your saving power in the world. Today, as we gather on Memorial Day weekend, we give you thanks for those who have given their lives in service to our nation. We pray for their families and friends, that your Spirit would comfort and strengthen them, and that all of us would make known to them our thanks for their sacrifice. We pray for the nations of the world and our leaders. Overcome the babel of misunderstanding among the nations, and let all people hear in their own language and recognize in their own culture your unifying message of love. bring us together. We pray for creation. By your Spirit, renew the earth, make us good stewards of its resources, and teach us to enjoy its abundance rightly. We pray for those in need of healing and for those who grieve this day. Among those known to us, O God, we pray for John Barr and his family as they grieve the loss of John's mother. Send your healing Spirit. Restore them to health. Give them your hope and restore them to the joy of salvation. We ask all this in your Son's name, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All that we have is a gift from God. As the ushers come forward, let us return our gifts and tithes with glad and generous hearts. Generous God, we give you thanks for all the many gifts that you give to us each day. We know that all good gifts come from you. Today, we give you thanks for the gift of rain and the remembrance that we are given new life through rain. But we are also given new life through your Holy Spirit. And today, on the day of Pentecost, we give you thanks for the gift of your Spirit and its power and its might and the many ways that it is at work in our world. We pray that you would take these gifts that we offer back to you this day and consecrate them to your use so that all the world might come to know the power of your love and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we go forth, let us sing together Spirit of God, hymn number 2117, verses 1 through 4.
Thank you.
invite you to take your bulletin with you so that you will know all the ways that you can be involved in worshiping, growing, and serving with us. But especially, I invite you to notice that on June 11th, we will have one service of worship, and I invite you to sign up for the lunch that will follow that.
And now the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and remain with you forevermore as we go in peace and as all God's people say, Amen.